Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for love and mercy you've given us, Father God. We thank you because you are the one that supplies us with everything that we could ever desire, everything that we could ever need, Father God. Those blessings come from you, and we give you glory in that. Father, we ask that you open up our hearts and minds as we fellowship together in your word, Father God, as you provide a message to us, Father God. We ask that you move in us, Lord, that we may be able to take that message, Father God, and grow with it, Father God. Lord, we ask for your spirit to move among us, Father God, that it would give us understanding, Lord, of what you have for us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time together, and we ask, Lord, that you be with us, Father God, as we enter into your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. How are we today? Doing great. You know, it's good to be in God's house. Even though it's raining out there and it's kind of ugly and those things, man, it's good to be just knowing that God is the one who gives us our breath every day. Knowing that God is the one that really just he allows us to be, right? He gave his son for us, right? There's just nothing better than that. And to come together and worship and just praise his name and sing about his glory, I mean, man, I don't know if there's anything better than that, right? When we acknowledge who he is and what he has done, and it's always good to give him glory. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you were able to make it with us this morning. And for those of you who are visiting, welcome again. I know we said welcome once, and we're going to say welcome again. Welcome to the house of God, right? I'm glad that you're here with us, and I hope that you come back and visit us over and over and over again, and you make this part of your home. Let me ask you this. How much is too much? You say, what do you mean? How much is too much? How much is too much? There's never too much. You could always get more. You know, I was listening to the radio and you know, I listen to a lot of sports talk radio these days, and this past week, might have been Friday, I don't remember the day exactly anymore, but they were talking about a baseball player, and again, his name escapes me, and what team might have been for the Marlins or somebody, I don't remember exactly the team anymore, but they were making the comment of that he was about to sign like the biggest contract any athlete has ever signed. And they were saying it was going to be a 13-year contract worth $325 million. $325 million in 13 years. That's a lot of money. How much is too much? Is $325 million too much? Right? Some would say, well, I could use a little more. Right, and no doubt somebody, there'll be another athlete, another somebody that will, they will have another bigger contract than that eventually, right? They seem that those big contracts, it seems like once one guy gets it, everybody says, man, I want a piece of that pie, and I want something just as big. But you know, sometimes I think that when something becomes too much, it takes us away from God. So if anything has taken us away from focusing on God, I say that's too much, right? Whatever it is. whatever it might be it friends, be in work, be school, be money, be houses, cars, whatever, a hobby that you like, whatever it might be. How much is too much? When it takes you away from focusing on God, it's become too much. And it's time to step away from it, right? And focus again on God. We're walking through James, through the letter of James, and we're seeing what God has to say to us through this letter. And we've seen, you know, what James has said, that he called himself a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we went through his life and we said, look, he's a half-brother of Jesus. He's brother, you know, Jesus' brother, but he denied Jesus. He said his brother was crazy. He had an encounter with Jesus. His life completely changed. And then he comes in and says, look, take joy in the various trials that you're facing. And we're like, what do you mean take joy in those things? But he says, take joy in those trials, right? We said, because God ultimately will take us out of those things when we're trusting him. He says, if you lack wisdom, then ask God for wisdom. Right? And whatever we're going through, if it's a difficult situation that we're facing, if it's a decision that we need to make, we can go to God and he will give us wisdom. Right? And remember that he's writing to believers who have been persecuted, who have been thrown in jail, whose property has been taken away from them, who really, as believers, are looked down on, and they're guilty even before they're going to trial. You know, they're not getting a fair shake. And James is writing to them these things. And as we're going to be looking at today, he does a role reversal to the people, right? As he's writing to them, he's going to reverse the roles of those who would be considered in poverty and those who would be considered in wealth. He does a role reversal. And Jesus did that himself, right? When he taught, when he spoke to the people as he walked, as he took the message of the kingdom of God. He spoke of that reversal himself. All right, let's look at that, if you will. Let's open up our Bibles real quick to Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. And if we could stand in reverence to the Word of God. And we'll begin in Matthew, and then we'll start looking at what James has to say and see what the Word of God has for us this morning. In Matthew 19, verse 30, he says, But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Again, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. You may be seated. Jesus was about, and the message that he was given was about humbling ourselves before God. Exalting God in what he does and who he is, and humbling ourselves in the presence of God. And not boasting in ourselves. Not thinking that we are capable to overcome things, right? There were the religious leaders of the time, and the religious leaders of the time held themselves up like the big thing, right? They puffed out their chest, and they could do no wrong, and the people looked at them and said, man, these guys are really holy, and they're religious, and they're righteous, and they're doing things right. And Jesus was like, yeah, they're just playing the role. They're just playing a part. Because when you start to look into their heart, Man, nothing that you see on the outside is on the inside. They're just pumping themselves up. And he says, look, if you're gonna pump yourself up, if you're gonna try to lift yourself up, man, you're gonna be last. You're like at the end of the line. Right? He says, but those who humble themselves, who know that they have to rely on God for everything, he says, those are the ones that will be lifted up. Those are the ones who are going to be put in front of the line. The last shall be first. Right? The last shall be first when we humble ourselves in the very presence of God. So as James, as he starts to write, these are the things that he says in verse, starting in verse 9 through 11, he writes in chapter 1 of James. He says, the brother of humble circumstances should boast in his exaltation. But the one who is rich should boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. The flower falls off and its beautiful appearance is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will wither away while pursuing his activities. The brother of humble circumstances should boast in his exaltation. Being humble or being poor or being, you know, lacking material wealth. He says, that person, that brother, and when he mentions brother, he's talking to the believers, right? Because now they've become one family in God, and they've come to be, you know, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Christ. So as he calls out the brother in humble circumstances, he's talking to the believers. And he says he should exalt himself. He should exalt in those circumstances that he finds himself in. And this goes back, right, to verse 2 when he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. When you can you know, rejoice in your humble circumstances and the difficulties that you're facing, you're focusing on God. Right? When we can humble ourselves in everything that we find ourselves in. Listen, we're living our life for God. We're living our life as witnesses to Jesus Christ and the transformation that the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. And whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we can rejoice, because at the end of it all, things are going to be much greater and much better than we could ever imagine. So we can rejoice when we're struggling, when we are in difficult circumstances, you know, and in poverty or whatever it might be. He says, you can rejoice. Remember that those that he is writing to, most of them are in poverty. Most of them don't have property anymore. Because when you became a believer, you either shared everything that you had with everyone, or the authorities would come in and take everything that you have away from you. So most believers during this time period are living in humble circumstances. He's saying, rejoice. Because what's to come is much better than you could ever imagine. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. He writes, The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. He says, the things that I'm suffering right now don't even compare to the glory that is to come. Don't even compare. I mean, the glory that is to come is going to be so much overwhelming that everything that happened before is forgotten and lost, and we're not even worried about it. And by far, Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. He suffered taking the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And he says, look, my present sufferings, man, I can't even compare them to what's to come. Because what's to come is so much better. So that's why as we walk as believers today, as we trust God, as we rely on the Spirit of God to lead us, it doesn't matter what comes our way, because what's to come is much greater than we could ever imagine. And this is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 verse 20, and he's speaking to his disciples and he's teaching them. He says, then looking up at his disciples, he said, you who are poor are blessed, because the kingdom of God is yours. You who are poor are blessed, because the kingdom of God is yours. The kingdom of God belongs to those who humble themselves before the Creator of the universe. And we can trust Him regardless of what comes our way. Regardless of what we might face, what difficulties we're encountering, we can trust Him, knowing that the things that we're suffering now are temporary and will come to an end. And when they do, man, things are going to be so much greater. So much better, beyond what we could ever imagine, right? There's that song, I Can Only Imagine, right? And I would sing it to you, but you'd probably run, right? But we can only imagine what it's going to be like, right? When we get there. We can only imagine, you know, we read about the streets of gold, the crystal seas, and the glory of God. Man, we can only imagine those things. But when we get to see them, it's going to be even better. Right? It's going to be better. You know, a lot of times we read a book, and then we watch a movie about the book, and we say the book was better than the movie. Right? Well, I tell you what, heaven is going to be better than the book. Right? It's going to be better than what we can imagine reading the book of God. James is telling us. He's saying, the brother in humble circumstances, boast in your exaltation. Because God will lift you up. And you can boast in God when He lifts you up. And then he writes to the others. He says, but the one who is rich, in verse 10 and 11, but the one who is rich should boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass, its flower falls off and its beautiful appearance is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will wither away while pursuing his activities. Remember we said, we asked, right, how much is too much? And when James is writing here, and we have to understand this, there's ways that we can read this. And one would be talking about material wealth and those type of things. But the more proper reading is that he's speaking to those who are outside of the community or outside of the fellowship or non-believers. Right? So as he talks about the rich here, he's talking to the non-believers, those who have not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, those who are not brothers, right? The first group he called brothers. Right, so the second group, he's really writing to someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ. And we said, how much is too much? Anything that takes us away from really worshiping God has become too much. I mean, we can be rich in many different things, right? I mean, not only financially, we can be rich in health, we can be rich in family and friends and different hobbies and activities that we have. I mean, there's different things that we can be, you know, rich in. And he's saying to these, he says, for those of you who are rich, boast in your humiliation. Remember we read in the beginning what Jesus said, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. He's saying, boast in humiliation. Why? Because those who trust in themselves, those who fail to trust in Jesus Christ, have put their focus on other things. And they can try to boast in themselves and lift themselves up. But ultimately, in the end, in the presence of God, they're going to be humble. And everything that they had, everything that they were able to bring or collect while they walked the earth, it's all going to be left behind. It's all going to be gone. There is nothing that we can take with us. Nothing that we can take with us. He's saying, look, you're like these flowers that pop up in the morning. And then by the time the evening comes, man, they've withered away. The sun has burned them dry. They're gone. For those who fail to trust in Jesus Christ, those who fail to submit their will to God, they may be able to boast in their own abilities today. But tomorrow, they're going to be humbled in the presence of God. And by then, it'll be too late. By then, it'll be too late. They're going to fade away, right? In their own pursuits, in their own activities. How much is too much? When the activities that we're doing take us away from focusing on God, it's become too much. We become like the unbelievers, and we've allowed the things around us to lose sight on the one that counts. We've lost sight of Him. And we got to refocus. We have to refocus on who He is. Because it doesn't matter how many things we can collect on this earth. It doesn't matter how well we can play the part. It's about what God sees in the heart. It's about who we trust in and who we give our lives to. He says, brother, brother of humble circumstances. Boast in your exaltation. Rejoice in God, because He will lift you up. And if you haven't humbled yourselves in the presence of God, and you've been lifting yourself up, you're walking on dangerous ground. Because God will humble you. And you might have thought you were first, but you're dead last. You might have thought you were doing great, but you're doing bad. What are we exalting our lives in? Are we boasting in God? Are we boasting in the activities and in the richness of the things that we can collect? What are we focused on? On the things of God or on the things of the world? Have you collected too much and lost sight of what God has done? Have you collected too much? If we could stand. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes. Listen, I don't know where you stand this morning. I don't know where you are in your life. But if you've lost sight of what God has done and who He is, I invite you to come. I invite you to come and refocus on Him. If you've collected too much and it's distracted you, I invite you to come. If you haven't been able to boast because of the humble circumstances you find yourself in, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Listen, if there's decisions that you need to make, if there's difficulties that you're facing, I invite you to come and give them up to God. Listen, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never surrendered your life to God, and the Spirit of God has been speaking to you to do so, and you'd like to do that this morning, simply raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Listen, if you've never been baptized, and you'd like to maybe consider being baptized, maybe you don't understand what it is, but you'd like to consider it, raise your hand and we'll Take some time and we'll speak it through. Listen, if you're facing something difficult that maybe you don't know what to do with anymore, simply raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Simply raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Whatever it might be. Listen, know that the altar is open. And as I pray, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Let us pray. Father, we come before you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the love and the mercy you've shown us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, for loving us, for caring for us, for giving your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, we thank you for the words that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the writings that you've given us through James. Help us to be able to boast in you, Father. Help us to be able to boast even when we find ourselves in humble circumstances. Help us to be able to boast because you are greater than anything we can ever face on this earth. Father, we ask that if we have too much, that you help us let some of it go so we can refocus our lives on you, Father God. Help us, Lord, to be able to walk faithfully with you and to be able to declare your greatness. Father, I ask that you be with those who are at your altar, Father. You know their hearts. You know their petitions, Father, Lord. I just raise them up to you, Father God, that you may bless them. Father, be with those, Lord, who are in their pews and their seats, Father God. And we ask that you bless them in a special way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning, Father. And I ask that you be with them, Father God, that you allow your presence, Lord, to be felt in their lives wherever they go. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together, that we are able to fellowship in one mind with one purpose. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross. We thank you for your Spirit who leads us to truth. And Father, we ask that you be with us as we leave your house this morning. But allow us to always walk in your presence wherever we go. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you all for being with us today. Ryan, Audrey and Destiny, thank you for coming. Alex and Janine, thank you guys for coming. Jordan, it's good to see you here again with us. Carrie, I'm glad you're here. And I just want to continue to invite you all to come and worship with us always. And I'll ask our worship team if they could dismiss us in song. And may God bless you all.